Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Eric Shanigan. Eric is an associate partner with the International Center for Leadership and Education. Prior to this, he was the award-winning principal at New Milford High School. Under his leadership, his school became a globally recognized model for innovative practices. Eric oversaw the successful implementation of several sustainable change initiatives that radically transformed the learning culture at his school while increasing achievement. His work focuses on leading and learning in the digital age as a model for moving schools and districts forward. This has led to the formation of the Pillars of Digital Leadership, a framework for all educators to initiate sustainable change to transform school cultures. Welcome to the podcast, Eric.
Thanks, Dana. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, as I start out with all my guests, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this and, you know, I go back to my early teaching days. And because I was, you know, pretty by the book, and I'd say strict, especially with my classroom management, I remember that I just pushed the student over the edge and he actually threw a shoe at me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna lie, I was shocked, I was appalled, but I was really demoralized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was in that sort of really low moment, what I had to do to pull myself out was really reflect on, well, how did it get to this point? Mm-hmm. And what can I do differently? And it was at that point that I really reevaluated my classroom management strategies, but also really placed a greater emphasis on building positive relationships with my students. And that point, you know, and I had to move past it, but in the end, it really helped me in the short term, become a better teacher, and in the long term, become a more empathetic administrator.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think a lot of teachers, at least back in the day, and our generation of teachers, that were, you know, we were taught to give students the rules, right, the expectations, and it was very much teacher led, right? And then we weren't really taught in you know, college and during our teacher prep to form relationships with our students. That's something that kind of came organically, right? So I really understand I had a similar experience, not with the shoe, but just in, you know, that strict disciplinary model, right? And be that authoritarian teacher. So yeah, I really can empathize with how, you know, you had to realize this is the way to approach students and, you know, that mutual respect. So I talked a little bit in your bio about some of the work that you're doing, but you post a lot of articles in your blog. And what interested you in starting to share your expertise? I know you've been writing articles and blog posts for well over 10 years. So is that just came organically from some of your work, or did somebody kind of ask you to start writing? How did that come about?
You know, I'd say it actually came by chance. You know, we are often confined by the mental walls and barriers that we self-impose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was one of those people, you know, I never considered myself a writer, a speaker. And, you know, for me, you know, I really, you know, when we look at our practice to traditionally in education, we often teach the way we were taught. We lead mm-hmm. the way we were led. And I hated to write. Writing, people think I like to write and it comes easy for me. It does mm-hmm. not. Same thing with speaking, you know, having never been trained. But what was really the catalyst for my sort of metamorphosis into what I do now was the fact that, you know, back almost, well, 13 years ago, we really set out to transform teaching, learning, and leadership in my former school, New Milford High School in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it was through the first, you know, sort of hardships and failures, but ultimately the success of my staff, where we improved student achievement. We became a global model for innovation. People were visiting from all over the world. Combining that with getting in classrooms more, my eyes were opened about all the amazing things that my teachers were doing. And I then was asked to become a Google certified administrator, Now it's called the Google Innovator Program. And one of the goals that I set out for myself, because we had to have action plans, was to use Google Blogger to consistently share what was going on in my school. By getting in classrooms, really working with my teachers more, you know, intimately, I had a lot to write about. But then I would have students guest post, my teachers guest post. And what happened was I didn't think people, I did it for my community. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, Dana, that people all over the world were going to read it or yet let alone care about what we were doing.
Yeah.
And that kind of led me to, I guess, my career shift.
That's really interesting how it went from just being a Google certified innovator. And I have a Google certified level one, you know, certification as well. But so I know a little bit about how that certification works, but yeah, how that led to that blogging and then people were able to see what you were doing, but you know, that really led to a lot of your work. So you're currently blogging on your website and it's entitled A Principal's Reflection. Is that the title that you've had ever since?
Yeah, I haven't really fiddled with it because I wanted to stay true to my roots, but you know, yeah, when I was a principal, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to reflect. And it's not about being right or wrong. It's about sharing, you know, different challenges and practical strides for overcoming them, but also how we've found success. So it hasn't really changed much. But, you know, what I hope listeners understand is, you know, passion and purpose really are driving forces to change and to stick with those changes. And, you know, for me, even to this day, when I write about the schools that I now partner with, it's that motivation, inspiration, practical approach that really feeds the ideas, whether it's writing or speaking. So, you know, I think that if we want to help our learners believe in their innate abilities, we need to begin to believe in ours as adults.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And it's really interesting to see how you reflect upon some of these things that maybe you saw when you were a principal or that you're seeing in some of those classes that you're now visiting in those schools that you're working with. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your latest blog post, Blending with the Station Rotation Model. Is that something you observed just this past spring, or is it something that you also saw in the school that you worked at? Because you were at a high school, and that sounds more like an elementary school when I'm hearing the station rotation.
Well, and that is a common misconception. So I'm glad you brought that up, Dana. You know, a lot of the strategies that are successful at the elementary level are just as important and practical at a secondary level. Now, station rotation is one of many models to blend learning. And there's a difference between blended instruction and blended learning. Blended instruction is what the teacher does with technology. For example, the teacher has all the kids go on the same digital tool at the same time and use it the same way. Blended learning is where students use technology to have some aspect of control over path, pace, and place. Now, in my former high school, we used the flipped classroom approach as a way to blend. It wasn't until I began, you know, I left the principalship, well, actually I retired, and went into this role that I began to really work more long-term with elementary schools. And that's when I was exposed to things like station rotation. But now in my role and the role of my team, we are working with pre-K through 12 schools to implement models like that. And it's such a powerful approach that's not new. But the key aspects that are new is how teachers can utilize adaptive learning tools to get valuable data to group, regroup, provide targeted instruction, and to differentiate. The real power of the station rotation model is teachers moving away from all kids doing the same thing at the same time to kids getting what they need when and where they need it. And one of those stations could be that teacher working with a small group, basically tier two instruction in the RTI model to really help them succeed. There is only one thing, Dana, that a teacher can control. That's how they use the time in their classroom with their kids. And station rotation is one powerful model to maximize that time.
Yeah, and I think now is really that time with that innovation piece and just rethinking how we teach. And I was a high school teacher for a long time, and you know, I've been in elementary schools and observed for several years since I taught in the high school and seeing that station rotation model. But back when I taught, I wouldn't have thought, you know, that that's something I should use at the high school, right? And like you're saying, that's a great way to differentiate. And I think for teachers that might teach smaller classes or interventions, maybe like literacy interventions or ESL interventions at the secondary level might use that already, but just that regular social studies or math teacher at the high school, like you're saying, it would fit well. And hopefully, you know, a lot of people, I'm going to link the article in the show notes and people will take a look at that blog post and just think a little bit more about how that's flexible. And the flipped learning I like as well, how I think a lot of people used elements of flipped learning if they didn't know about flipped learning before the pandemic, you know, recording lessons, they've learned how to do that. And I know that some people probably use some elements as we, you know, go back in the building this fall. But did you guys start using flipped learning pretty early on at the
school? Yeah, we were an early adopter of the approach. Okay. A lot of the things that people are talking about now, we were doing 12 years ago with Fidelity as part of our Bring Your Own Device initiative. And yeah, you know, our whole idea was to really try to empower our learners, but also give them the supports that they needed while they were with us to be successful. And, you know, the flipped approach, our teachers did it differently, but a lot of it was just using document cameras that could record, and they record their mini lessons, upload it to a YouTube, put it on a Google site. Then kids had access to it at home. They could watch it at their own pace, do some embedded formative assessments before class even began. And then in class, that's when the teacher really used that time to truly differentiate, to make sure that we were closing any achievement gaps, but also giving those kids that are already at standard that opportunity to progress even further.
And I like that time where you're able to differentiate with your students because you're giving them the lesson beforehand, right? You're also giving them the time to work on the formative assessments, working with those small groups. And I read the Jonathan Bergman book back in 2011 and, you know, used some elements of it while I was still in the classroom, but, you know, you looks like you guys were kind of at that pace back in that time frame and really, you know, learning how to innovate with, you know, that video model and, and just, yeah, those teachers using, using everything that they learned from that. Tell me a little bit about how you made that shift from being a principal. You said you went on early retirement and then now you're a speaker, author, and trainer. How did you decide, or why did you decide to do that? And just
kind of, you know, it's kind of all intertwined. And I'll just use the blended learning approach that we just talked about. You know, that was one of many initiatives that we implemented. Not one, just one thing that improves achievement or enhances culture. It's a culmination. And we were doing many, many different things that really aligned with our mission and vision, which was to help all kids learn. And what happened was, as I began to share through my blog what my teachers were doing and sort of my input as a leader or influence as a leader, social media gave us a sort of bullhorn and put our work out there for everyone to look at. And I got solicited to write my first book on Twitter. I never met my co-authors until it was finished.
Wow. But
organizations reached out and said, Eric, oh my goodness, you all are doing some amazing things. We want you to speak at this conference. We want you to speak at that conference. Wow. So it then got to the point where it wasn't just being asked to speak and share on behalf of my school, but then people were asking, hey, we want to see what it looks like. You know, we want to see how, you know, when you have a significant ELL population, special ed population, when 40% of parents don't speak English at home, how you're able to do what you're doing and be successful.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
So as people visited, we welcomed them in and we said, go look for yourself, not with me, go with my students. But one of those visitors was the International Center for Leadership and Education. And they heard how we were using the Rigor Relevance Framework, which is a tool that they developed, and how we were using it to create a common vision, common language, common expectations. And when they visited, they're like, we can't believe this is happening. I mean, mm-hmm. everything you guys are talking about is real. It's true. And I'm like, yeah, shouldn't it be? And that's when they offered me a position. I said no. Then they offered it differently. Then I said yes. Mm-hmm. And since 2014, my role has been to kind of use those lessons, but also lessons from all the many schools and districts that I now have the honor of working with to help everyone transform teaching, learning, and leadership. So, you know, it's great to write books and be, you know, speak on a big stage. But for mm-hmm. me, the most gratifying part is actually being able to roll up my sleeves, get in classrooms with teachers and administrators and kids, mm-hmm. and really work through the process of change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're able to do that on such so much a larger level when you have left the building or left the district and, you know, you're traveling around, because there's so many different things that happen in different areas of the country with different populations. And, you know, you're able to then reflect on also how things look different in different geographical areas as well. And I would imagine that you're set. I saw your calendar. You're traveling a little bit to Hawaii, I think, in August, and then you're coming back to the East Coast, and then you're going back to Hawaii. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, I always tell people, if someone has to work in Hawaii, I'm going to make sure that someone is me. Mm-hmm. And I'm engaged in a turnaround school project there, which is very gratifying work. But yeah, it is, it's a busy time, but I was actually in classrooms right in the heart of the pandemic, mm-hmm. helping schools with implement their hybrid approach. So it's always been busy, but now it's back to pre-pandemic levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great to hear that, you know, you're keeping busy and they're needing your work, and, you know, you're helping implement that change. Let's talk a little bit about some of the work you do on advisory boards. I see that you're a member of both CASEL, ALMA, and several other advisory boards. And tell me a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, you know, I don't, at least for me, I didn't set out to be a thought leader for notoriety. I just tried to be a better principal for my teachers and kids. And, you know, kind of like the story about how I became a speaker and presenter, a lot of organizations will reach out to me mm-hmm. And say, hey, Eric, we want your input. And I only agree if they understand that I'm going to be honest. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not here to promote your sort of mission and vision. I'm here to give you feedback on how you can better serve the education community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, CASEL and ALMA are two such organizations where, you know, my role is to advise, give practical, timely, applicable feedback, mm-hmm. and, you know, making sure that in the process, our visions are in alignment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's discuss your newest book, Disruptive Thinking. Is that a book that's mostly aimed towards school leaders, principals, or would any educator benefit from reading it?
Well, I think to be successful, you have to continually reflect and reinvent yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, over time, Madonna has done that extremely well. Yeah. And I'm not saying that I'm trying to be the Madonna of education. But, you know, I've always been perceived as the leadership guy. Mm-hmm. When in reality, most of my work is actually at the classroom level, working mm-hmm. with teachers and administrators at the same time. So my pandemic project was writing Disruptive Thinking in our classrooms. Mm-hmm. And it is written first and foremost for teachers. And what I tried to do is weave in stories, mm-hmm. strategies, but practical examples of what it can look like in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had the honor over the past couple of years to visit thousands of different classrooms. And what I've done is capture what they are doing, what these teachers, administrators, schools, and districts have done to successfully transform teaching and learning, both before and during the pandemic. And that's the one thing that I'm most proud of that I hope people will take away from it is, you know, that people love good stories, mm-hmm. and so much emphasis is on the why. What I wanted to do was not only emphasize the why, but really move from, hey, how do we do what we do better? Mm-hmm. How can we do it in a practical way? How can we do it in, you know, in a way that saves us time? Mm-hmm. And then what will tell us if we're successful? So, you know, at the end of each chapter is a disruptive challenge, not questions, that really empower the reader to take the ideas and strategies and put it into practice so they can implement change now. Mm-hmm. And in the end, there is some digital resources, one of which is up now, I think it's up to over 70 pages of artifacts that I've collected from classrooms across the country that show the reader what the strategy can look like when it's implemented with fidelity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of practical tools, and also something that people can just take when they come back in the building and just hit the ground running with in their PLCs or book clubs, and, you know, really are able to implement as they go through the book, correct?
Yeah, and it's interesting to say book club. You know, we just released the study guide for the book, which is available on Connect Ed Publishing. And it's just yet another resource to really help educators in the trenches be successful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's great to hear. And I'll put the information to where people can access that on the show notes. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of people should, if they haven't already heard about it, use as, you know, they listen to this and consider just PD for the upcoming school year. Well, I've learned a lot about your work and some of your thoughts and, you know, how you're helping these schools implement change. Out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
A couple things quickly. Change is not an event. It's a mm-hmm. process. We have to be patient. And in order to change, we have to look at, do we reside in the comfort and fear zones mm-hmm. or the learning and growth zones? Mm-hmm. The pandemic pushed us into the learning and growth zones, and we have to seize on the opportunities that have arisen. Mm-hmm. From a more holistic approach, don't prepare learners for something, prepare them for anything. And we've learned that not just during the pandemic, but with all the disruptive change that we're seeing. The world is so disruptive. Technology is continuing to change every facet of society. And if we want our kids to be successful in this world, we need to get them, empower them to think disruptively, which mm-hmm. my definition is replacing conventional ideas with innovative solutions to authentic problems. That's what it means by preparing kids for anything, not something.
Mm-hmm. I really like hearing that. Let's prepare those kids also. We talk so much about the professionals, the adults in the organization, but prepare the kids as well to be disruptive thinkers. Well, where can people find out more about you and follow you online?
Yeah, well, my life, professional life, Dana, is pretty much an open book. You know, you Google Eric Scheninger and you will find me, whether it's my website. But my real bread and butter is Twitter, E_Scheninger. But, and you will see, I'm pretty open. My DMs are open. Anyone can reach out to me and I will do my best to assist. But I do not have all the answers. No one does. But I can help try to guide people to ask the right questions so they can find the answers to them in order to be successful.
Well, it's been great having you on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dana. And thank you for what you do.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.